Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think a little bit of both. Like, week one, a little communication error sometime, but also guys playing hard, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of room for improvement. But with it being week one, I mean, I'm also proud of the effort and the adjustments that we made throughout the game and how guys communicated together and stayed together. So, I mean, I think it was a little bit of both.
Grady Jarrett had 1.5 sacks last week, and the defense did play well against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Going to be really challenged tonight against the Philadelphia Eagles, and additionally challenged with out one of their key linebackers in the game. And welcome back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, taking you to the top of the hour, 6 o'clock network pregame show, which will take you to the 8 o'clock hour. Wes and Dave live from Lincoln Financial Field, the Atlanta Falcons, Philadelphia Eagles, Monday Night Football tonight on 92.9 The Game. Injury report brought to you by Fireshire from the W Sauce, bigger, better, bolder, and now spicier. Visit WSauce.com to find a Fireshire retailer near you. John Fricke alongside with our Falcons insider and reporter Joe Patrick. And Joe, as you look at the injury chart for tonight and the players available, we got the late word on the Falcons update here. Why don't you take me through both teams?
Yeah, still early in the year, so not a ton of injuries for these teams, but we do have some important ones, one in particular for each team. For the Eagles, we'll start with A.J. Brown, who will miss this game with a hamstring injury. It's the first game that he's missed since joining the Eagles in 2022, so a big miss for them, though they do have some other receivers who can fill in his stead decently well, I would think, although probably not to his caliber. On the Falcons side, it's more interesting with some breaking news coming out just this afternoon that Nate Landman has gone on IR. He was listed with a calf and a quad, a couple issues he's been dealing with really since last couple weeks of training camp was when he started missing some practices, was able to play against the Steelers last week, but now out for this one, then goes on IR today. And John, that would signal to me, and this is just purely speculation, but it would signal to me that he would be able to return from IR as soon as the 4 weeks is up. And that's one of the reasons why they do that right ahead of the game tonight, so that this game tonight counts as one of the games he's going to miss, with the hopes that they can get him back sooner rather than later. But we'll see on that. And then one of the team's reserve defensive backs, Antonio Hamilton, will also miss tonight with a groin. But the team did sign to replace, I think, both Hamilton and then to replace Landman's roster spot. The team has signed Kevin King from the practice squad, who had a pretty good training camp, is a former top pick. I think he was a first round. I can't remember if he was a first or second round pick with the Packers back in the day, but a prestigious player, but has not played the last couple of years. So he's coming back into action and gives them a little bit of safety and corner versatility there in the depth of the defensive backfield.
Yeah, and he played well in the preseason. There's no doubt about that. He was all over the field. So hopefully he can make a couple of plays tonight, because the Falcons are going to have to try to flip the field on the Philadelphia Eagles after losing the turnover battle 3-0 to the Pittsburgh Steelers in the opener. This portion of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show is brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. John Fricke alongside our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick. And Joe, as we talk about this game this week, when we talk about fixing the offense, what is it that you want to see? Let me rephrase that. What is it that Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson want to see this team do better? Is it just go on long drives? Is it hit balls downfield, protect Kirk Cousins? I know they want to do all of these things and get deeper into their playbook, but we have to assume that in order to win the game tonight, they're probably going to have to put up 27.
Yeah, probably. I think this game kind of feels like it's one of those you race to 30, where it felt like against the Steelers it was a race to 20, and whoever got there first was going to win that game. It almost kind of feels like the opposite. Not necessarily means that either team will get the 30 points, but it kind of feels like that's kind of around the range you're going to need to score in this game. And yeah, you're right, John. They obviously do want to do those things that you mentioned, but I think when you just get down to the fundamentals and what they can control, I think it all comes down to the operation and just playing a cleaner game than they played last week. Obviously, we've talked about they had 3 turnovers. A couple of those are throws. Sometimes, you can't always control control, interceptions. It's the heat of the moment. Quick decisions get made. It's not always, your quarterback's not always going to make the right decision. Clearly, Kirk Cousins didn't in a couple of those moments, and actually could have thrown another one as well. But it's the stuff that you can't avoid, like the fumbled snap, which comes when hits the man in motion. It's all the penalties that this team had. They only had 5 penalties for 34 yards, but the vast majority, I think all but one of those penalties came in the second half, and a couple of them negated some nice plays that really would have been crucial for the drives. I know that one of them was a 17-yard catch by Kyle Pitts that was negated, and that's the kind of thing that just kills your drives, and it gets hard from a play-calling standpoint, especially for Zach Robinson, working with a new quarterback and trying to put this new scheme together. You don't want to be behind the chains like that those negative plays like penalties give you. And what we saw this team have was they were 2-for-9 on third downs against the Steelers, but they were 0-for-6 when it was third and 10+. Of course, a lot of teams are going to have something similar to that, but the fact that you were in that many situations where you were facing 3rd and 10+, that's never where you want to be. So they're going to want to just play a more efficient game offensively and keep the chains moving. That's something they were just not able to do hardly at all in that second half. Every drive seemed to be stalling out because of some of these negative plays. So that's, I think, something that they feel like they can control and is going to be their focus. And if they can do those things, then I think that they understand that those bigger plays are going to come.
That game in Brazil, which was played on a sketchy field where Saquon Barkley had the 3 touchdowns, where Philadelphia hadn't played since then, by the way. So they haven't played. They played on a Friday, and they haven't played in, 11 days now?
Yeah.
So they come out here. Green Bay was able to move the ball efficiently in that game. And the Philadelphia defense was a little flat-footed. So, maybe that'll play a little bit into this. Now, I know that Nick Sirianni, well, let's put it this way, certainly no Joe, that Philadelphia Eagles fans are looking around their division going, Washington is terrible, the Giants are terrible, and, oh, my God, the Cowboys are terrible. So
Yeah. They're
going, this is ours to take. So let's take it right now. So, you're going to be walking into what is, kind of known as one of the more difficult environments in the entire NFL to begin with. On top of that, already in week 2, you have a team that in its own division is smelling blood in the water.
Yeah, that's right. And, there are a lot of trends going up against the Falcons in this game going into it. I think that one of the reasons why fans might be not expecting a win, besides the fact that this team is a 5.5-point underdog coming into this game, but it's just that this team has not been very good on the road really the last couple of years. A lot of their success has come at home, and especially in the road openers. I think the Falcons are 0 for their last 6, I believe, in road openers, something like that. They're just not – history is not going in the Falcons' direction here. But I will say for this Eagles defense, they are – talented, but I don't think that they consistently play up to the level of talent that they have on this defense. Obviously, they're kind of known for drafting all these Georgia Bulldogs players, and they're all very talented, as we know, and have, winning track records, winning pedigrees in college. And some of them certainly have been productive in the NFL so far. N'Kobe Dean has been solid, although he deals with injuries. Jalen Carter, obviously impressive in his rookie year last year. But guys like Nolan Smith, Kalei Ringo have not really been impact players for this Falcons defense. They've got, a rookie cornerback in Quinyon Mitchell on one side, and then potentially Cooper DeJean playing in this game, although he hasn't featured a ton in their defensive backfield. But it's a young defense overall, scattered with some older veterans. But it feels like there are plays to be made in this game. As the Packers showed, they were able to move the ball, and you would hope that with the Falcons playing a cleaner game that they will also be able to move the ball more efficiently than they were able to in week 1.
Boy, don't you get a sense that the start of the game is going to be really important. If the Falcons on their first possession, or at least by their second possession, are able to move the ball down the field and get a touchdown, that there will be sort of a sigh of relief on the Falcons sideline of, okay, let's just relax and go do this.
Yeah, a sigh of relief, or just like a confidence booster. I feel like for a team that on offense has all these young skill position players, I think it's easy for those guys to ride the roller coaster a little bit, for lack of a better word, and they probably wouldn't want to admit it. And, maybe they don't do it as much as they think or that I think. But ultimately, I think that you run the risk of, if you don't start well in this game, of these guys kind of feeling like, oh, here we go again. We're going to have to try to, scratch something out, but it's not working for us. And then you just kind of get into a downward spiral. I totally agree with you, John. It really would help this team to just get off to a solid start, if for nothing else, to set like a positive attitude on the sideline, on the Falcons sideline today.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show as we take you to the top of the hour and the network pregame show. Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson standing by. 8 o'clock for the network coverage of the game tonight. with West Durham and Dave Archer. Falcons and Eagles, the first of three primetime games for the Falcons in the next 4 weeks. They'll, of course, play primetime against the Chiefs next week. This week, actually, coming up Sunday against the Chiefs at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And as we get to the top of the hour in the network pregame show, when we get back in a moment of the Wave 4 Tailgate Show, we will get to some of the keys to the game tonight for the Atlanta Falcons. This portion of the Wave 4 Tailgate Show brought to you by Orchard. Sell your home and get paid twice. You can learn how at orchard.com. Monday Night Football on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Not only him, but I thought the entire offense looked out of sync. And that's, you know, partially due to the fact these guys didn't play much in the preseason. And I know that's kind of the way everybody has gone in the NFL, right? There's this idea that, you know, it's not worth the risk of playing guys, getting somebody injured in the preseason. But I, you know, it wasn't just Atlanta. I think you look across the league, I thought offenses were pretty sloppy yesterday.
Matt Ryan talking about how the first week of the season looked. Well, you got one under your belt, so no excuses on that. It is game night for the Falcons, Monday Night Football tonight. At 92.9 The Game's coverage of the Falcons and Eagles tonight in Philadelphia. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. The keys to the game brought to you by Motlick and Associates. When winning is everything, call Motlick Injury Attorneys at #win. That's #946. Offensive coordinator Zach Robinson's baptism by fire did not go well in the opening week, and he talked about that this week and about changes to the scheme as they face a new team.
Some of the run game and how we set it up, you know, we'll change those things week to week. It's we're never married to one thing or the other. Those things will ever be evolving based on the game plan of that week. But certainly like the pistol, you know, we did it a ton with the Rams last year. And it's something that gives you great versatility across the board. So we'll continue to find those spots to mix it.
All right. So Zach Robinson, Joe Patrick, is under the gun. I mean, the immediate reaction after the game, you know, I thought it might be kind of negative towards Kirk Cousins or negative towards, Caleb McGarry or negative. No, it was pretty much directed at Zach Robinson, the new offensive coordinator in his first game, who some people said looked out of his league as an offensive coordinator calling his first game. He may turn out to be a great offensive coordinator, but boy, there got to be a lot of pressure on him tonight to scheme something up against Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think if there's anybody that deserves some slack to be cut for them, it is Zach Robinson, having just, you know, calling his first NFL game. But I don't think that people are necessarily wrong for criticizing him for that scheme. Again, when you have the tendencies that that the Falcons had in that game, going 100% passing whenever you're in shotgun and 81% running when you're in pistol, I mean, we said it earlier, but that's the kind of thing that you would hardly see in a high school game. And I asked Raheem Morris about those particular stats specifically in a question. And I wouldn't say that he gave a great answer. You know, he just kind of filibustered his way through the answer. But I noticed, like, while I was speaking the question, you could just kind of see the pain on his face a little bit, just knowing that that is not the way to win in the NFL. That's not a way to keep teams, opposing defenses off balance. But we've also talked about some of the reasons why it ended up being like that. And when in the second half, you're behind the chain so much, like, you're not going to be able to run play action when it's third and 12 because, you know, nobody's going to be biting on a run play in that situation. It's just a lot harder to mix things up. So, yeah, there's a lot of improvement that is needed from this team in general, but it's not just the players. It's definitely the coaching staff and the preparation and the game plan as well.
You know, it'd be interesting to me to see how this offense evolves. And, you know, I'll certainly give Zach Robinson an opportunity to win me over. Who knows? Maybe we're talking in five years about, you know, Zach Robinson, great offensive coordinator. We don't know.
Yeah.
How it kind of all works out. But I would be interested to find out here to see if the Falcons have a few wrinkles that they've thrown in this week. Like, for example, let's just say that you have Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
And you put Bijan in the slot and move him in motion, at least try to drag somebody over and get him out into space, because if you can get Bijan in space, we know that's where he creates, and that Tyler's a guy that can, you know, pound it suddenly in. You know, if you pull a linebacker and you hit a crease, there goes Tyler. So I think that the things you could do on offense here with those two guys, question is, will they?
Exactly. We talked earlier in the show about this run game specifically needing more misdirection to it. You need to basically hold those linebackers in place a little bit longer. And if you're able to do that, then you're able to get guys into open space. You're able to get offensive linemen in better positions to block one-on-one instead of having these linebackers come in and make things muddy at the line of scrimmage. It's desperately needed. And you would think that with Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson, with those two options in the backfield to hand off to, that you could create a lot of that misdirection with guys coming in motion. And it's not that we didn't see any of it. I thought one of the best play calls of the game was, frankly, the one play that they ran from under center, where they presented a quarterback sneak and then ran Bijan Robinson on a jet sweep end around, where he was able to pick up about 10 yards on that fourth down. So, you know, I think that there is clearly opportunities for this Falcons offense. They're almost certainly not going to look as rough as they did last week tonight, but, you know, it's how much progress are they able to make? Is it only a slight increase? If it is, that's probably not going to be enough. I do want to say this also, John, about the pistol, because we heard it from Zach Robinson there in that clip. A pistol offense can work. There's nothing like I know a lot of people were kind of upset at all the pistol and shotgun, and maybe it was a surprise happened.
Stop for a second, Joe.
Sure.
Hang on. Just stop for a second. I think you need to explain to some – I know some of you fans out there, you're – okay, the difference between under center,
right,
pistol, and shotgun.
Yeah. A shotgun snap, obviously, is when you're not under center. You're standing about 3 or 4 yards behind center, and it's snapped to you. The pistol is basically – I think that the quarterback's a little bit closer to the center than you would be in a traditional shotgun.
Halfway between, right.
Yeah, the main thing with the pistol is that you have the running back behind the quarterback. That allows for a more diverse run game, because the quarterback can essentially just turn to the right or left, and they run left or right, as opposed to when you're in shotgun and what's called sidecar, where the running back is off to one side of you. It's very much more predictable which ways the run game can be set up and which direction the run is going to go. So that's the difference between the two. And I think that there's a lot of, because the pistol is not a widely used formation, especially the amount that the Falcons ran, that can't work. I disagree with that. I think it can. I just think that we have an impression that it can't work based on the way that week one went. And clearly they need to execute better in those situations. And again, just mix up their tendencies a little bit more. If you're running 81% of the time when you're in it, then yeah, that's probably not going to work.
Yeah, the Tailgate Show brought to you by the W Sauce, the official sauce of our tailgate. Bigger, better, bolder. Visit WSauce.com today to find a retailer near you. John Fricke alongside our Falcons insider and reporter Joe Patrick. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, taking you to the top of the hour in the network coverage. Pregame show with Mike Johnson and Chris Goforth, and of course coverage of the game from Philadelphia with Wes and Dave tonight at 8. You know, I look at this game and think, just kind of step back, kind of 30,000 feet, this thing. The Swampers are 2-0. The Bucs are 2-0 somehow, and Lord knows that New Orleans has had two dominant games, both over 40 points, and they've looked great, so credit to them. Carolina is an absolute disaster, and I don't think that the Falcons can really kind of lose contact this early. I know you got games coming up with them, and so the head-to-heads are going to matter here in weeks 4, 5, and 6 here. But this becomes, and again, critical is a hard word to use, but it becomes a really important game when you have two teams in your division off to 2-0 starts. You don't want to have to be playing from behind for, you know, half the season.
Right. And that is the one reason why last week was an important game for this team in the whole context of the season, is because it really would have put you in a situation where you're not going to start the season in a pretty dismal hole and going 0-3 potentially, because you've got two really, really tough games coming up. Obviously tonight against the Eagles and next week against the world champion Chiefs. But, you know, and I don't think anybody expected, like you said, for the Saints and Bucks to get off to those hot starts, beating quality teams, in the Bucks beating the Lions, the Saints beating the Cowboys. I mean, those are really quality wins for those teams. And, you know, now it sets up a situation where the Falcons, you know, I don't want to project too much, but, you know, they could be, very well could be, 0-3 heading into those. That's when you start that key stretch of NFC South games, and they're looking a lot more difficult. I think a lot of people anticipated, oh, well, even if they are 0-3 or 1-2, then you start winning those games when you get into the NFC South, because it's an easy division, and, you know, maybe not so much anymore. And then if you are in that position, it really would feel like a must-win game in week 4 or week 5, and that's never where you want to be.
Yeah, because they're going to be a lot of must wins. One of the things that does not favor the Falcons this year, and we walk through it on my shows, is the schedule does not favor. By the time you get to the bye week, the Falcons will have played five of their six division games. And if you're not halfway through the season on the north side of your division standings in terms of the games inside the division, there's nothing to make up, Joe.
Yeah.
You got one game against Carolina at the end of the year. You can't make stuff up.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly you lose tiebreaker after tiebreaker because you have no opportunity later in the year. It's not like in the last month of the season you get to play all three teams. Oh, no. You're done. You're pretty much done with division play by the time you get to week 11.
Yeah, coming into this season, you know, the Falcons had the easiest schedule in the NFL just by going off last year's records, of course. But it's really the last half of the schedule is where things get easier and you're playing out of your division. You're playing against a lot of rookie quarterbacks, whether that's the Giants Giants don't have a rookie quarterback, but he might as well be Daniel Jones. And then Washington, you've got several rookie or young or poor quarterbacks, struggling quarterbacks that you'll be facing in that second half of the season. But that's not really going to matter if this team's already, to your point, like kind of dug themselves in a hole where they're not really in reach by the time they get to that quote unquote easy part of the schedule. No schedule is truly easy in the NFL if you're not like a truly elite team. But yeah, you're right. I mean, these are such important games, and heck, even losing in week one makes some of these games coming up now obviously a huge game for the team's kind of prestige tonight in terms of what they can be on a national stage. I think the national narrative is not a good one around this Falcons team. They're kind of the butt of a lot of jokes the way that, you know, last year wound up for them, and what they've done in the draft obviously was such a big talking point. Now a game like tonight and these national TV games that they've got coming up here in these next few weeks are, you know, going to make a big impression on, I think, the way the world sees the Falcons, but also therefore the way the Falcons kind of think of themselves based off of that.
Well, look, I mean, everybody was on board with this. I mean, they sold out season tickets for the first time in 20 years. You know, there was a lot of buzz around the team, and then they come out and look up like same as it ever was. And that's not, again, it's an eye test thing, too. So it'll be not only the outcome of the game tonight, but it'll be an eye test thing.
Do
they show signs of being a team that can't compete? I mean, if they show, even if they lose the game tonight, but you come out and you go, okay, you know what, this is a pretty good, because I still think it's, Joe, I still think it's a pretty good football team.
Oh, so do I. We said it was going to be one of those games that it's like a race to 30. If you lose this game 31-27, you're probably feeling pretty good as a Falcons fan. Like, obviously you want to win the game, but if you see this offense start to get rolling, you see things, you know, you see Kirk Cousins hit some downfield shots, you see guys like Kyle Pitts and Drake London kind of get their production that you know that this team is going to need in order for them to be successful. If you start to see some of those things click into place and you don't quite win the game, you're still, I think, as a Falcons fan, going to be thinking a lot more positively about this team and what they can accomplish this season. And it's the same on the other end of the spectrum, though. If they come out and have the similar type of game that they had last week, you know, Raheem Morris said he expects to see Kirk improve, you know, coming off that bad game. If you don't see that, then what are you saying? What are you saying as Raheem Morris? What are you saying as Kirk Cousins, as the leader of the team in the locker room? Then I think you're really going to be facing a lot of questions that you don't want to be facing two games into the season.
Monday Night Football tonight, Falcons, Philadelphia Eagles from the Lincoln, Philadelphia. This is the Wait For Tailgate Show as we take you to network coverage top of the hour on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Eagles, Atlanta Falcons, the Lincoln, Philadelphia. Dukes and Bell will be back in their normal time slot tomorrow to take all your calls and react to this game. John Fricke and Joe Patrick taking you to the top of the hour here. We'll join the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson on the pregame show. And, of course, take you to the Lincoln, Philadelphia for the game tonight, West Durham and Dave Archer. Of course, then after that, poor Rob Tribble. Rob had to have a hard week last week, Joe, with the Falcons flyover.
I bet Rob enjoyed it. He certainly made the most of it, I'm sure. It's going to be a late night for him tonight.
Late night for him tonight after the game. Your chance to react with Rob Tribble on the Falcons flyover immediately after the game is over. All right, so this segment is the Picks and Predictions. It's brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this football season at Man Cave Store. .com. I am loathe at this point, and a big $5 word, to give a pick or a prediction on the team, Joe, because I'm not really sure what I know. I know what I want to see tonight,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure what's going to happen tonight or at least less confident in what. I know that I want to see, like, for example, I want to see, I'll give you three things. Maybe you could think of three things off the top of your head.
Sure.
I want to see more creativity on offense. Okay, I want to see that. I want to see more separation from the wide receivers that Kirk Cousins has windows to throw into that aren't so tight. And I want to see the defense force a couple of turnovers.
Yeah.
If that happens, that'll be, I think, positive steps in every direction.
Yeah, if you get if the Falcons are able to create two turnovers, I mean, they might lose the game, but it's going to be close. Like that is the kind of that is the kind of thing that wins you football games right there, is creating turnovers, and I'm right there with you. I was just thinking, you know, what do I want to see? I want to see one play action play, please. I wouldn't be surprised if, given all the, you know, the talk about the play action, I would totally not be surprised if they run play action first play of the game, because that's how coaches are. When they want to make a point, they tend to do it like that. So, but seriously, in all seriousness, I do think we need to see play action game, and something more generally I would speak about, and something we've talked about on the show today, is just misdirection, and play action is part of that, but just creating misdirection and creating some hesitancy in that Eagles defense is something that you need to create. I would like to see them get pressure on Jalen Hurts. I know that's a tough ask, especially against this Eagles offensive line that's one of the biggest and best in all of football, but getting Jalen Hurts, if you can get him on the move, that is typically when he tends to have his rash decisions and throw some turnovers. Even though he is a mobile quarterback, he actually likes to kind of be in the pocket when he's throwing. He's just a danger with his legs on the ground. And then something else I want to see, and something else we've talked about on the show, is I just want to see them hit a deep shot. I think that they need to get this Eagles defense off of them. What I saw in that Steelers game was no respect for the deep passing game, and therefore they just were kind of shading underneath, essentially, on everything. They were jumping routes. I think that's frankly how one of Kirk Cousins' interceptions was thrown, which was from a deep safety who didn't really have a receiver he had to defend, so he just jumped a dig route and got and made a very Jesse Bates like interception. So I would like to see them really threaten the downfield passing game, and obviously complete some of those.
Yeah, and again, that goes back to these receivers have to create some separation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and they just have to give Cousins, you know, a chance to be able to make a throw where he's not having to fit it into such a tight window here, and so that's up to them. To do that. It's one of the things that I talked about prior to the season. I said one of the concerns I had about the Falcons was that Drake London, to me, does not ever strike me as a home run guy. He's like more of like a possession type wide receiver. He's very good. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I like him a lot.
Sure.
They lack that big time game breaking wide receiver. And I was hoping, well, you know, they kept saying, well, Mooney, you know, he had the separation, most separation of any receiver in the NFL last year. That's great. He didn't get any in game one. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
If he did, I missed it, because, you know, you got to show me that he can do that. And until you prove that, then I'm not going to, you know, it's like, okay, show me now here. Because one of the things we want, I think, Joe, all Falcons fans want here, not to speak for everybody out there, you do you, but I just in the sense of doing the shows and getting the reaction I get on X and Facebook and certainly here on the radio, is that we just want to see them not look like they did last year and the year before, like they did in week one. So just be different.
Yeah.
Be
yeah.
dynamic.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw the Falcons look dynamic? It would have probably been in the year before the final year of Matt Ryan.
Yeah, probably. Probably, yeah. In the 2020 season, maybe, where they could score a ton of points. At that point, it was like a flip the script. Those Falcons teams could score, you know, they were scoring 30 points a game, but they were also giving up 30 or 40 points a game. So the results were equally not there. And you talking just got me thinking, like, maybe we're getting too far ahead of ourselves and we need to start with, what do we want to see? Just kind of an operation that works, you know, the plays getting in on time, the motions being sharp, the snaps being sharp, you know, some of the fundamental stuff, because even some of that looked off and shaky the whole time. The other thing I would like to see, and something we probably should have talked more about, or should be talking more about, is just Kirk Cousins. Can he move? Can he get out of the pocket? Can he create some things? He got out of the pocket a little bit on the one touchdown throw that he had in week one to Kyle Pitts. Would like to see some more of that. Is he capable of it? They say he is, but we haven't really seen a lot of evidence of it yet.
Videos seem to show it, but he's running around with no pass rush and in you know right. not being forced. I mean, so it's like, okay, that's great. I mean, wonderful, but let's see you do it in a game, right? I mean, this is about you have to kind of get the trust. Not that it's important to get the trust of the fans. It's really probably not important at all. Except when you don't have the trust of the fans, then people start to it starts to bleed into all the discussion, including here on the radio, including on the flagship, into X and Twitter. And the players listen to the radio. They read X. They read Facebook. They read Reddit. You know, they're reading all these platforms because they can't help themselves. Of course they do. Mm-hmm. They want to turn into the radio and see if we're talking about them. So. And that bleeds into the locker room. So
no doubt.
One feeds the other.
No doubt.
Coming up top of the hour, Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson, pregame show will join the Atlanta Falcons radio network ahead of the Falcons in Philadelphia, live on Monday Night Football right here on your home of the Falcons Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Tonight, the Atlanta Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles. Our coverage and joining the network here in just a few seconds with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson. Also, I want to remind you of the Falcons flyover immediately after the game, with Rob Triple. Well, one wise man once told me, if you're scared, buy a dog. So I'm not scared. I'm going to go with the Falcons are going to win on a coup field goal. This is just going to be a coup moment in this game in Philadelphia.
Wow. That's optimistic. I think that they do lose this game, but I think that we feel better about this Falcons team afterwards. I'll give it a 27-20 scoreline there. Couple touchdowns.
All right, for Joe.
Maybe one for Drake.
For Joe Patrick and Noah. Joe, we got to go. For Joe Patrick and Noah White, this has been the Wait For It Tailgate Show. Stand by for the network. Falcons and Eagles tonight.